Matthew chapter 6, we'll begin reading in verse number 19. Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where there is neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The relationships of a Christian with God as his Father in the throne are greatly and magnificently discussed in Matthew the 6th chapter. Certainly there is nothing as more important in this life than our relationship with our Father. Problems come in two areas. One of those problems is pride, and it's dealt with the first 18 verses of Matthew chapter 6. The second begins in verse number 19, and it deals with the way that we handle certain things that we have been blessed with in this life, the cares and pleasures and the stresses of life. How we handle them will have much to say with what type of relationship that we have with God. A word that we have become quite familiar with in our language today, and one that has become very familiar to the Lord's church, is the word worldliness. What do we think about this word when it is introduced? Well, I'll tell you what we think about. We think about lying and stealing and cheating and drinking and gambling and adultery and fornication, and many other things come to mind when we think about the word worldliness. Yet this is not the only way that worldliness comes into play in our lives. Christ speaks of another type of worldliness in Matthew the 6th chapter. That is the hoarding up of this world's riches. All the affairs of living can hinder doing God's will if we have the improper motive and the improper understanding in how we look at the things that we are blessed with in this world. In and of themselves, there is nothing wrong with riches. There is nothing wrong with money. There is nothing wrong with having things in and of themselves. There's nothing ungodly about that. But there is a real danger, and that's what we want to talk about. We need to understand the urgency of the temptation to go in the wrong direction of these things. This lesson is really divided up in two parts. First of all, laying up for yourself treasures in heaven. That is discussed in Matthew 6, 19, really through 24. And then the second part of this is how we deal with anxiety and worry in verses 25 through 34. Christ teaches us that that this attack from the world or temptation of worldliness comes on two fronts: a love for the wrong thing, and the second, the anxiety and care with how we can maintain it and how we can pursue more of it. And we need to be careful on both fronts. One is as dangerous as the other to the soul, and so both of them should be something that concerns us. A brief outline of these passages would really be as follows: what men should not treasure, what men should treasure, and reasons for each of them. To treasure something is something that we need to understand what we're talking about. What does it mean when I say that what we treasure in our life is important? To treasure something is to put something or someone first in our life. It is to hold it in high regard. It is something that we think a great deal about, something that we put much value in. That's what it means to treasure something. It is to love that object above all else. Every person, and that includes you and that includes me, have treasures. Every one of us put our treasure into something or someone. The question is, either it is in God or it is in other things. We need to understand in these passages, Jesus implies that we only have two choices. Those two choices are God or mammon in verse number 24. God, of course, is the God of heaven, the things that are eternal in nature. Mammon are the earthly riches, gained by pleasure, fame, wealth, money, and prosperity. To treasure mammon is to value the earthly things above the spiritual things. To treasure God is to value the heavenly things above the earthly matters. The choice you must make is, where are you going to put your money? And tonight, I want to talk about banking in heaven or banking on the earth. And I want to tell you tonight, before we begin, every one of us in this audience either bank in one of these two places. We either bank in heaven or we bank on the earth. And we determine which bank account we are building up, whether the one on the earth or whether the one that is in heaven. And what you choose in this area will have much to do with where you spend eternity. How you answer this question will have much to do in whether you will spend eternity with God or you will spend eternity separated from God. And so I want to look and examine this tonight with you very briefly. I want to begin tonight by talking that there are two treasuries, one that is on the earth and one that is in heaven. What is the Lord prohibiting? Now, we must understand there are some things here that the Lord is prohibiting. What is he prohibiting in Matthew, the sixth chapter? Now, he is not banning earthly possessions. Now, that is a misconception many people in the world make. The only way you can truly love God and be a true follower of God is if you give everything else to somebody else. That is not what God is saying. He is not banning earthly possessions. In Matthew, the 19th chapter, in verse 16, many people go to this account to try to teach how you must have nothing in order to be a faithful servant of God, and that's the rich young ruler. And the reason that this young ruler had a problem with his riches is if you go and read Luke's account in this, you will see in Luke's account that he trusted his riches more than he trusted God. That was his problem. It wasn't just his riches that was a problem. And it's not just riches that are a problem that can ensnare your soul. It's not things that do it. It's your attitude about those things. That is what Jesus is trying to get us to see. You see, an accumulation of this world's goods is not evil in and of itself. Abraham was a very, very rich man. Read back in Genesis chapter 41, verse 33 through 36, and you will see that he had great substance. He was a man that was very wealthy. In Job 1 and verse 5, he says that he was the wealthiest man that lived on the earth from the east at that time. Job was a wealthy individual, but that did not keep him from serving God, and that did not make him a servant that God did not look upon favorably. Is it sinful for a man to desire land, to make money, and to build a house? No, that is not sinful. That is not a sin in and of itself. God commands man to provide for his own in 1 Timothy 5 and verse number 8. Does one need to save for a rainy day? Yes, I believe one does. It uses good stewardship. It uses good common sense to put away for your older years, to put away for needs that may come up. That's good stewardship. God is not forbidding that. He's not saying that that is wrong. Do I sin when I do these things? No, we don't sin. Jesus was prohibiting something, though. What was Jesus prohibiting in these verses? He's prohibiting the selfish accumulation of goods. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, this can be readily seen when the Apostle Paul wrote these words, beginning in verse 17. In 1 Timothy 6, beginning in verse 17, the Bible reads, "Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, not to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good, and they that be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, and that they may lay hold on eternal life." You see, what if the heart's desire for the temporal things outweigh everything else in his life? What if my desire and my input and all my energy goes on attaining earthly wealth? What if that is my goal, that is my focus? Then you've made a poor decision. It's not your goods that are doing you in, it's your attitude about what you have been blessed with. What if the heart desires the temporal things? Well, just desiring temporal things does not make it wrong. But when that becomes your God, when that becomes all your life is about, then you are on dangerous ground. Can this only be done with money? No. We know the Bible says that the love of money is the root of all evil in 1 Timothy 6, verse 10. But money is not the only riches that you can hoard up. That is not the only way that you can be guilty of banking in the wrong area. Now, what do I mean by that? Yes, we could love money, but I could love honor. I could love prestige. I could love preeminence. That will get me into trouble. Remember Diotrephes in 3 John? If we love preeminence above God, that can get us in trouble. What about if I love a position? What about if I'm looking for a standing in the world's eye, and I do everything I can to attain that standing? I'm in trouble. What about if I love status, about my position in life and my position among fellow men? What if I love my work? What if I love recreation to the point that I forget about everything in pursuit of my recreation? Brethren, you've got the same problem. And the problem is not the hoarding of riches. The problem is your attitude about them. And any of those things can cause you to have your focus in the wrong place. And that's what Jesus is prohibiting. How can I get it right? How can I make sure I get this right? Well, I can get it right by providing for my family and others. Why do I seek gain? Do I seek it to spend it on myself? Do I seek it to help others? Do I seek it to take care of my family? Or do I seek it to have everything I want? What's your attitude about your wealth? What's your attitude about prosperity? That's what God is talking about. Your attitude about these things is going to make a difference where you spend eternity. How you look at what you have, how you pursue what you have, that's going to make a difference in whether you will spend eternity in heaven. Who do I give credit to? Is it my hard work? Is it my ingenuity? Is it my good fortune? Is it my good luck? Or do I realize that every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father, James 1, verse 17? Do I realize that everything I have been blessed with by God, and I am nothing more than a steward of it? I am something that belongs to someone else, and I have been given an opportunity to use it to my discretion, to do it to the best of my ability, but I understand that it belongs to my Father. Is that my attitude? If it is, then I have the proper outlook on riches. That's what God is talking about. Now, what's the problem? What is the problem laying up treasures on the earth? What's the problem with that? Are there some problems with that? Yes. Things in this life are uncertain. They are temporal. They are fleeting. They are passing away, and they are tentative. They have no enduring quality. You've heard the saying, here today, gone tomorrow. You understand what that means. Proverbs 23 and verse 5 talks about that they grow, that our riches can take the wings of eagles and they can quickly be gone and vanish away. We need to understand that bread molds, Joshua 9 and verse 5. Garments wear out and they become threadbare, Psalms 101 verse 26. Fields can become infested and be destroyed, Proverbs 24 verse 30 and 31. Walls and fences can be broken down and have to be mended, Proverbs 24 and 31. Roofs can cave in and they can leak, Ecclesiastes 10 and verse 18. Gold and silver will tarnish in time, according to 1 Peter 1, verse 17 and 18. Add all this up and it makes life uncertain. It makes riches uncertain. What about floods and tornadoes? You well understand that. There were people a few months ago that had a house. Today they don't. Why? Because in a matter of a few seconds or minutes, everything they knew was taken away from them. We understand the uncertainty of life. We need to understand that we could be rich today and we could be a pauper tomorrow. We could have everything that we have and tomorrow we could have nothing. That is the temporal nature of this existence. And brethren, that's what life is. There are no guarantees. And that's the danger with laying up treasure on heaven, on earth, because you're looking at things that have no security, no real security. Another thing that we need to understand, they cannot fully satisfy. It seems that rich people, the problem that they have is they're not satisfied with what they have. They want more. Ecclesiastes 5, verse 10, Solomon talks about that his eye never was fulfilled. The more he saw, the more he wanted, the more that he pursued. It seems that the eye is never satisfied. That is one of the dangers in banking on the earth. You can't take it with you. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 6 through 8, it says that we brought nothing into the world. It is for certain we will take nothing out. We need to also understand that we can't take it with us, so we should not put all our emphasis on what we gain here, understanding that it is temporal in nature. Now, brethren, that doesn't mean it's bad to accumulate things. That doesn't mean it's bad to have certain regard for certain things in your life. That's not what God is saying. But when our focus is upon that and keeping it and getting more of it and wanting it more and desiring it more at any expense, even if it's our soul, then things are out of balance and we need to reexamine our position. We also need to understand that God will not accept a part-time service or commitment of my will. Revelation 3, verse 14 and 15, these people thought they were rich, but God said they were poor, naked, and destitute. They thought they had a lot, but God said, you have nothing. We need to also understand that God will accept no rival for his affection. Read Luke 14, verse 26 through 33. You know what? The devil may accept your part-time service, but I'm here to tell you, God will not. God will not accept you wanting part-time service for full-time pay. He won't do that. You know, that's a real good thought, and that sounds good, but it just doesn't work. If you want the full reward, you're going to have to give the full effort. And that's what God is saying. The devil will accept less. He'll accept nothing. He'll accept enough to get by with, but God won't. And we need to understand that. And the other thing that makes this a dangerous proposition is that where our heart is, that's where our treasure is. Wherever our heart is, wherever my mind and my desire is, that's where my treasure is at. That's what Jesus said. Life will disappoint you. Earthly happiness is temporal, it is uncertain, and it is fleeting. Health, wealth, and relationships can be destroyed in a wink of an eye. Death will lastly rob you of any type of happiness, and we need to know that's the nature of the beast. The nature of riches and wealth and prosperity is it is not guaranteed, and there is no way that you know how long it will last, and you don't know when it will be taken away. Brethren, that's the nature of the beast. That's the danger, and we need to accept that. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. And then we want to look at the reasons why this is a better proposition. In giving this instruction, Jesus tells men to love and seek and trust and hoard heavenly riches above earthly wealth. True riches, in Luke chapter 16, verse 11, Jesus said, if you didn't handle the riches of the earth properly, how is God going to give you those riches of heaven? How is he going to turn that over to you if you didn't even know how to handle the ones that you were blessed with on earth? God's not going to do that because you have not proved yourself to be a worthy steward in what you've been blessed with here. Love God and his Son more than anything else in life. Luke chapter 14 talks about that. If he that loves mother and father more than me is not worthy of me. That doesn't mean you hate your mom and dad. That doesn't mean you hate your spouse. But you cannot put them before God. You can't do that. Why? Because God must come first. You know what? For people in the world, that's hard to understand. It's difficult, and I understand their difficulty. I understand why the people in the world have a difficulty in this area because they don't understand where all that stuff comes from. They don't understand why they have it. We as children of God, hopefully we do. We understand we have it because of the mercy, the love, and the grace of God. And so it's not hard for us to put God first because he gave us all those things. And so we must keep that in its proper perspective. And to do that, you're going to have to deny self. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, we've got to deny ourselves to take up our cross and follow him daily. We must choose the best part. We must choose that which is lasting, enduring, and that will give us true happiness, and that has true substance. We must put our hope and our trust in him. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, and verse 17 and 19 that we read just a moment ago, it says that you must put your trust in him, not in things. We need to also understand that we must place our affection on heaven because it has a much more return of value. Listen to what I just said. Heaven has a greater return of value than anything you can put on this earth. Anything. Money, people, things. There's nothing that can give you the return that things in heaven can give you. It's a much greater value in any way you want to look at it. We need to understand that. Reason for placing our treasure in heaven? The reason we need to do that is one treasure is in heaven, it's not uncertain. And if it's in heaven, it can't be stolen from you. It won't corrupt. It won't fade away. It can't be taken from you if it's in heaven because no one can get there to take it away. It has something that has enduring quality. That makes it much better than the earthly wealth. If our heart is in heaven, it will bring us enjoyment in this life also. That is an added benefit. Why? I will view my duty and obligation with the proper perspective. It gives us a clear picture of the future. You see, brethren, I want to enjoy my life, but I don't want to enjoy it so much that I lose my soul. I want to be happy, but I don't want to be too happy that I lose my soul. It gives me the proper perspective of life. You know why sometimes life does people in? Because they have no proper perspective of life. They have no true understanding what real happiness is. They're blurred. You know, if you ask people in the world, what's happiness? Well, that's going out and having a good time. That's having lots of friends. That's having lots of money. People that have that have a skewed view of what happiness is. That stuff won't bring you happiness. If you don't believe me, ask somebody that was rich and tried it. I'll give you an example. Ask Solomon if it brings you happiness. Read the book of Ecclesiastes and tell me he thought it brought him happiness. He thought he missed it. And here's a man that had time, ability, and opportunity, and he said it was vain, vanity, striving after the wind. It can't produce what you seek. Oh, it may be fun. It may be enjoyable, but it won't last. And that's what we need to understand. To be faithful and a true servant of God, he must be first. Matthew 6, verse 33. The love of the world and the love of God are not compatible. Man cannot be indifferent towards sin, God, and the truth. You can't do that. You see, reason for why you place it in heaven, it's more secure. It's more secure than anything you have. I don't care if you have CDs. I don't care if you have an IRA account. I don't care if you have a 401. I don't care what you've got your money in. It is nothing as more valuable than to have it in heaven. Nothing. And brethren, if we understand that, we won't put too much focus on the earth at the expense of our soul. But you know what? It's tempting. Man, it's tempting. Man, it's tempting to put our focus on the earth because it can make our life easier. It can make it more pleasurable. It can make us more popular. It can give us a lot of things. You know, they say money isn't everything, but it ain't bad. You can buy a lot of things, but it can also buy you an eternity in hell, too. A lot of things money can do for you. Not all of them are good. We need to understand that. But, you know, this would be a futile exercise if we really didn't know what we should treasure. And I want to close tonight by talking about some things we should treasure. There are things in this life that we should treasure, and I want to give you a few of those tonight. First of all, we need to treasure our life. We only have one. The significance of life should be precious to us. The Bible says it's appointed a man wants to die, and after death cometh the judgment. Hebrews 9:27. At that time, only one thing will matter. At the end of your life, there is only one thing that matters. It won't make any difference what kind of position you had in life. It won't make any difference what you attained to in life. It won't make any difference how much you got in your bank account. It won't make any difference how big a house and how nice a car you drove, how much you left for your family and your kids. None of that will mean anything at the end of your life. You know why? There's only one thing that's going to be troubling you when you cross over Jordan. That is what you did with your life. It is something that is precious. We need to treasure time. We've been blessed with it. It's the greatest blessing of God. Each moment is precious. If you don't believe that, just ask somebody who lost somebody quickly to the world that wasn't prepared. Tell them that time isn't precious. You know what? I remember a few years ago, there was a song, well, probably a number of years ago, the Stadler Brothers put out a song called The Wall. It's about the names that are on that wall in Washington of those who lost their life in the Vietnam War. And in that song, it was written, it was supposedly about a mother who had her son's name on that wall. And in the song it says, Lord, he's more than just a name on the wall to me. And you know what? I understand what that meant. I understand that those things have meaning to somebody. Life is a precious thing. We should love life, but not to the point that we lose our soul. We got to keep a balance here. We got to keep an even keel. We must make the moments count. We must use our opportunities wisely, but we must remember that we're going to be judged by how we use this life. Brother, God did not put you here to be miserable. He did not put us here to be unhappy, but he did not put us here that we enjoy life at his expense. That he did not do. And so you've got to keep a balance. And if you don't keep a balance, life will overrun you. But life is precious. You need to treasure it. Another thing we need to treasure, we need to treasure the truth. We need to treasure the truth because it's important. You see, the truth tells us that it saves us. Romans 1:16 tells us that. James 1:21 tells us that. God's power to save is through His gospel. Never compromise it. Proverbs 23:23 says, buy the truth and do not sell it. A lie will cost you heaven. 2 Thessalonians 2:10-12 says, those that will believe a delusion is those who loved unrighteousness. Those who did not love truth. You know what? We need to love truth. We need to love truth so bad when I get out of bounds, when I go somewhere I shouldn't go, when I do something I shouldn't do, I should love truth so much I want you to come and tell me so I can get the ship right before it's too late. You know what? A person that is in a ship and is heading for disaster, he wants somebody to help him change course before he ends up where he doesn't want to end up. And brethren, we got to have that attitude about the truth. You know the old saying, truth hurts. Sometimes it does. Sometimes it needs to. Because you know what? Your soul is a valuable thing. My soul is a valuable thing, and I need to understand that only the truth can keep us on a straight and narrow course. And I need to love that. I need to treasure that. I need to treasure the truth because it gives me the answer, the real answer to the questions of life. Nothing else can, but the truth can do that. We need to treasure our influence, folks. We need to treasure the type of influence that we have in this life. In Matthew, the 5th chapter, we talked about this earlier, about being the salt and light of this earth. We need to understand the only Bible some people will ever read in life is how they see you do, how they see us live, and how they see us conduct ourselves. Brethren, we need to treasure our influence. We need to treasure our reputations. They need to be something that we hold in high regard. I would do nothing that would compromise my influence. I would do nothing. I would try to do nothing that would compromise my influence with my children. I would not try to teach them one thing and live it another way. I would not try to compromise my influence to those who are lost and dying in sin by praying to be a hypocrite or saying to be faithful when I'm nothing more than a hypocrite. You know what, brethren? There are going to be more people lost because of bad influences than anything else in life. Because there are so many people professing to be one thing and they are another. You only have the influence that you have because of the way you've conducted yourself. And brethren, when you lose your influence, you have lost a lot. You know, that's why the Bible says a good name is worth more than fine gold. Your influence is important and you need to treasure it. You need to keep it ever foremost in your mind. You know, I'm 46 years old and I've been out of my home for my dad and mom for over 25 years. But you know, to this day, I would never do anything to bring shame and reproach upon my mother and father. You know why? Because of the influence they have in my life. But you know what? I even have more regard for God Almighty. I don't want to do anything that brings shame and reproach upon Jesus and His church because I have an influence in the world and I need to treasure that. I need to regard that highly because once you lose it, you diminish your ability to help others when you destroy your influence. We'll talk a lot about that in our lessons about the young people in December, because that's an important part. We need to treasure our bodies. We only have one. We need to treasure them. We need to treat them and take care of them. They are a precious gift from God. We need to be free from the works of the flesh that destroy the soul, Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 through 21. We need to not be a glutton, a drunkard, a fornicator, but I'll tell you something else we better not do with our body. We better not abuse it by being a workaholic either. I have a good friend in the church. He's not here any longer, but he was a good man. He was a gospel preacher. I thought a lot of him. I still do. But he made one tragic mistake in his life. He destroyed his physical life by his consuming his spiritual life to excess. You mean I can do something good to excess? Yeah. You could do something, you know, I want to help reach the lost. I want to do everything I can to reach the lost. I want to do everything I can to be able to be a guiding light to those who are lost. But if I lose my body and lose my family in the process, I've gained anything. And you know what? You need to take care of your body. You don't need to abuse it. And you don't need to misuse it. You need to use it properly because it's a gift of God. And you know what? I'm not talking about exercise. I'm not talking about not eating red meat. I'm not talking about not keeping your cholesterol. All those things are good because they'll make your life a lot easier to live. But what I'm talking about is that we respect this gift that we've been given from God and use it to His glory and honor. And we should do that to the best of our ability. That's all of our responsibility. If you abuse and wreck your body and you die young, you cheated God. You cheated God. Because you could have had more years of useful service and you might have been able to reach to more people and you might have been a better respect. You might have had more influence over your own family. Brethren, we need to treasure a body. God gave it to us. We're supposed to use it in a proper way. We need to treasure our heart. We need to treasure our heart and we need to keep it pure. Matthew 5 verse 8 talks about blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. We need to understand that we need to draw a proper conclusion by examining the evidence that is provided. Fill it with honorable and pure things, Philippians 4 and verse 8. We cannot allow our minds to be a garbage dump to all types of ungodliness and worldly thoughts that can lead us down paths that we have no business going down. Brethren, our mind's like a computer. You put garbage in, garbage comes out. You've got to protect your mind, and you got everything in this world trying to get into your mind. If you don't think so, you just turn the TV on, just turn the radio on, look at the billboards that you go down the street. There are all types of things trying to occupy and control your mind. And you've got to fight it. You've got to channel it. You've got to focus and understand that it's something you need to treasure, and you need to keep it as pure as you can. Because if you don't, it can end up costing you your soul. And you know what? Nobody has this ability over your mind except you. You control this. I don't. No other man does. We need to treasure our soul. You know what? We need to treasure our soul. We need to understand the soul is worth more than anything else in this world. More than anything that we have. Matthew 16, Jesus asked the question, what does a man gain if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? Luke said, what will a man give in exchange for his soul? We need to understand, you know how you really value something? Is you understand what it's worth. What's your soul worth? How much value do you place on your soul? It's got to mean everything. Because this is the part that's going to live in eternity. This is what's going to live on after this old body of flesh and bones is gone. This is what's going to remain, and this is better be where my focus is. You know why? Because no matter how many years I live here, I'm going to live here a lot longer. A lot longer. And you know what? I'd rather be miserable a few years than miserable for an eternity. That doesn't seem to be to me to be a very difficult thing to comprehend, does it? We need to treasure our soul. And if you treasure your soul, you will live your life accordingly. If you really treasure your soul and what it means and how precious it is and how valuable it is, it will be seen in how you live. You know, that's why Jesus said, by their fruits you shall know them. You don't have to wear a sign. You don't have to wear a button. People will know the value you place in your soul. We need to treasure our families, brethren. We need to treasure our spouses. We need to treasure our children. We need to understand that they are blessings from God. And we need to understand that parents, spouses, and children all play a role in what we are and what we've become. We must remember that these relationships are a blessing from God. We must make good use of them and we must show, you know what, you can't mistreat your children and mistreat your spouse and think you're going to get in heaven because it won't work. You know what? These are gifts from God. You know, I think sometimes we forget. And you know when this hits us? You know when this really hits us? Is when they're not there. You know, in a few months, our youngest daughter is going to be married. That's going to be a new experience because there won't be somebody there. That's hard. It's hard to let go. But I know that's part of life. But brethren, we need to appreciate what we have because we may not always have it. And we need to understand that God gave us these things to bless our life. to make us happy, to give us enjoyment and fulfillment that we could have in no other way. And brethren, they'll always be with us. They'll always be with us, and they can hinder us or they can encourage us. And we need to remember how precious they are. We need to very quickly, we need to treasure the church. Why? Because God gave His life for us. We need to treasure it because this is the way that God has determined that He's going to save those who are obedient to Him. We need to treasure what the church is. And you know what? We need to treasure the work that God gave her to do. And that means that we must treasure our responsibility in this area. You know, the church is only going to be as strong, is only going to be as vibrant, and only going to be as good as the people who put their work and their effort behind it. We need to treasure the church because it is something that God holds in high regard. If you don't believe that, read Acts 20 and 28. It says He shed His blood for it. He purchased it with His blood. Ephesians chapter 5, 25 says He loved it enough that He gave His life for it. Somebody will have to explain to me the proposition that the church isn't important. If it was important for Jesus to die for, if it was important for Him to give His life for, if it was important that God gave Him to be authority in all things for the church, then it better be something I treasure. We need to treasure our conscience. You know what? You can kill your conscience. You can destroy your conscience. This flashes a signal of warning to us if it's trained and cultivated in the truth. When we go beyond what we need to do, when we go beyond what we should do and what we ought to be doing, there's a sign, and that conscience can be a good thing. But if you ignore your conscience and you just put the blinders on and you just ignore it and run past it, what it does is it will be killed. And then it can't help you. Then it can only hinder you. But you know what? You and I do that. Nobody controls your conscience except you. We must cultivate it in things that are right. We must cultivate it in things that are right and godly. And if we do, then we will be the one that will profit. And last but not least, every one of us in this audience need to treasure where we're going to spend eternity. You know, the Bible says that we are going to be judged in 2 Corinthians 5 and 10. It says that we're all going to come out of the grave in John 5, 28 and 29. The Bible says in Acts 17, 30 and 21, 30 and 31, that God has ordained a day when He will judge the world by the man whom He has given authority to, and He's ordained him, and He's showed by raising him from the dead. We need to know that we're going to spend eternity somewhere, in heaven or in hell. But we're going to spend eternity somewhere. And you know what? Right now, when you're sitting here and listening, that may seem far away to you. It may be closer than you know. Brethren, eternity is a long time. It's something that I think about a lot as I get older. I understand as I grow older that death is one day closer than it was yesterday. I understand that I could be gone in a heartbeat. You know, just a few weeks ago, I was in a Bible study, and one of the people we were having a Bible study had a friend that had a cold and didn't want to leave work and didn't deal with it. A couple Sunday nights ago, he's sitting at home watching TV, had a heart attack and died sitting in his chair. Now, he wasn't 70, 80, 90. He's 35 years old, two children at home in the prime of life. Life teaches us some cruel lessons. And one of the lessons that we need to remember is that we're facing eternity. When we leave this life, we're facing eternity. And where we spend eternity is going to have a lot to say with where we banked, whether it's on heaven or whether it's in earth. You know what? Piling up earthly wealth will blur your vision. Piling up earthly wealth will cause you to miss what is truly important. And so please take your psalm books out and turn to page 297. The real question for all of us is, Where do we want our bank account to be? Do we want it on the earth, or do we want it in heaven? Now, as I said in the beginning of this lesson, God is not talking about that it's wrong to have things. God is not talking about it's wrong to have money, possessions, and luxuries of life. That's not wrong. But ask yourself this question tonight, brethren. Are you attaining all those things at the cost of your soul? And if you are, you are making the saddest bargain and the sorriest bargain that you will ever make. You know what? The allurement of money and materialism is real. There are going to be many of my brethren who are going to be lost because of their intent on having as much of this life as they can get and leaving undone things that they could be doing. Now, brethren, who should understand this proposition better than us? Who understands where all this stuff comes from? Who understands the beauty of all the things that God has blessed us with? Who understands that better than we do? And who should not make this foolish decision to bank on the earth instead of banking in heaven? Let me ask you this question as we are about to sing this song. Where is your bank account tonight? Where are your treasures being laid up at? Is it on the earth or is it in heaven? If it's on the earth, let me try to change your mind. Let me try to encourage you that you need to change where your direction is going. If you're not a Christian, you need to become one. You need to be added to the family of God. You need to be forgiven of your sins. You need to be buried in the watery grave of baptism to attain the blood of Jesus Christ. You need to do that. That is the most valuable thing in life that you need. You need it more than a car. You need it more than a house. You need it more than security for your retirement years. You need that more than you need anything in life, whether you understand that or not. And if you are here, and you are my brother and sister in Christ, and you know that you're not giving the time and the effort to the Lord's cause that you ought to because of your pursuit for other things, you had better wake up before it's too late. Because I can't do anything, and nobody else can, when you hit the grave. When you hit the grave, and this was your pursuit, you won't have anyone need to tell you. You won't have to listen to me again. You won't have to listen to me plead with you. You won't have to listen it again. But you know what you'll want? If you die unprepared and you die out of balance, you'll want to hear this invitation one more time so you can make it right. Don't learn this lesson the hard way. If you need to make amends in your life, make them. Correct them. Make sure that your focus is on spiritual over the earthly. Keep the earthly things, brethren, in perspective. Use them to the glory and honor of God, and use them where they will not be a detriment to your soul. But understand this, how you use them will determine where you spend eternity as together we stand and sing.